So if you would look inside your worship guide, you can pull out the message notes. We're going to return to our study of how to travel the road to financial freedom and the good life. Our Lord wants to teach us how to get off the road that takes us to financial indebtedness and burden and the life filled with tension. So I'm just going to very quickly walk us through to where we left off last time. As you can see in your message notes that we've handed out to you, they've been filled in up to the point to where we left off last week. So on page 1 and 2 and part of 3, I'm giving you some statistics with regard to money and how it can be abused and how it can hurt us if we're not careful in applying our Heavenly Father's principles. On page 3, we asked the question, who's in control? And then I gave you some guidelines on how to handle money from our Lord's point of view, and his point of view is the best one. And then on page 4, we were looking at what's the best way of using our life. And I gave you 4 principles. I'm just going to have us look at the first 2, and then we're going to move along again. The first purpose of our life is to remember from the moment that we gave our lives to Jesus, our lives were no longer about us, no longer about our career, no longer about anything else that we would put first in our lives. Jesus is first. Our lives are about Him. The second purpose we see there is that we are to be seeking the supremacy as well as, well, in just another word for supremacy, is the preeminence of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. I don't know how I missed that unless the first 2 pastors in my life were just teaching on other subjects. But I didn't realize that I was really supposed to give over my life in fullness to Jesus. And I didn't know I was to be seeking the supremacy of Him, because I was pursuing a college degree and looking for a career that I wanted. And nothing was being run by God other than the fact that I might say, please help me on this exam so I can get this degree and move forward going on into this career. I believe that there are fellas that are wearing sandals or shoes like mine that are missing the boat and sharing what the Word of God tells us. Our lives are no longer about us, and we're to seek the supremacy of Christ in everything. End of story. But as you look around to the multitudes of people that you know that are professing Christians, do you know that in your heart as you have watched them and heard them speak? Do you see them living their lives that way? Over on page 5, we looked at why our Lord says so much about money. Because money, if not taken care of the way He wants us to, it gets us into trouble. He gave us some spiritual reasons as well as some practical reasons as to why He talked so much about this whole area of finances. Then we looked at our Heavenly Father's responsibilities. And we discovered there, some of you, maybe for the first time, I don't know, those of you out there in other states that are joining us, again, hi, I didn't specifically say hello to you, but thanks for joining us. But our Lord wants to make clear, because the church, as you look at it in America, you wouldn't think they're doing it. And that is, they don't understand that everything that there is in the universe on this world belongs to Him. And you and I have been given a measure of it when we came to faith in Christ. And that shows you how much faith He has in us, that He would give me a measure of His estate to take care of. But what I didn't know until many, many, many years later, in that I was to protect his estate that he's given to me, and that I was to be doing what I can with it to invest it in those things that are important to Jesus, because I wasn't seeking the supremacy of Jesus in all things. I wasn't even treating all that I had as if it was his. So I was just doing what I wanted with it. And that was wrong. So we're learning a new paradigm from him. As we look over here on page 7, we learn that our Heavenly Father is sovereign. He's in control. Everything that we look at all comes out of this precious document that he has kept safe for thousands of years to share his active living word with all of us. We also learned that our Heavenly Father will provide for our needs, not our greeds. He wants us to be taken care of. And being his daughters, being his sons, he will take good care of us. We may want more because we're Americans and spoiled, but he's going to give us what we need, what's important. And sometimes having less will help us to enjoy more what he has given us to take care of on his behalf. And then over here on page 8, we began to look at our responsibilities last week as sons and daughters of the Most High God. And at this point, I want to say these things because of the activities of the last 2 weeks. I want to make my remarks brief, if Ron Seidel can do that. But my hope is, I want to say this. Some of you are possibly thinking, you know, this is where I think Ron usually breaks in, cancels the series out for a week or two, and he talks about what's going on right now in America. Well, you already know what's going on right now in our country. You've been watching it. If you've turned on your boob tube every day, you may have even gotten really emotionally upset and moved to tears based on what we're seeing. But you see, family, in October of 2016, I started out to give a series that was the last 4 weeks on this very subject. And it lasted 15 weeks. So there are 15 messages waiting for you if you go to our website under sermons, and you'll see little numbers down there, you know, like 1, 2, 3, 4, and there's usually about 3 sermons under each number. Well, if you go to number 45, you can pick up and you can look again at the first sermon that I titled, What GACC Should Be Like in a World of Racism and Corruption. So I encourage you to go and do that. I could talk to you about fear, but family, I've just done like what? A series of 3 messages about fear and how we should have no fear. Pastor Eugene, I was looking at the website yesterday, and he gave all of you a message on putting on the new self for the new year. You see, these kinds of things is not what's taking place in the church across America, and it certainly wasn't taking place in the lives of those who were protesting, and they have the right to protest. And it wasn't going on in the lives of those that were looting, for sure. Pastor Eugene also taught, you're on your way to go to your way or God's way. Well, obviously it was their way. It wasn't God's way that we were watching. And the problem with that then, family, is this. For years, starting in 1989, our primary statement as a church, it was a church that is committed to the great commandment and the Great Commission will grow a great church. And this is, who's the church? You are, right? So the disciple who is committed to the great commandment, I will love the Lord my God with all of my heart and soul and mind and strength, and my neighbor as myself. And Jesus came along and he told us, I'm going to accentuate part of that. I want you to love your neighbor. I want you to love one another exactly as I've loved you. I want you to agape each other. I want you to be seeking each other's very best, highest good at your expense. Follow my example. But that's not what the church across America is doing. And I can't speak for you whether or not this is all part of your life. It's not about you anymore, it's about him. You're seeking the supremacy of him and not yourself. I can't speak for you, but you know if you are. You know if you're loving the Lord your God with all your heart. I mean, do you ever come to tears just singing to the Lord one of these musical prayers? I find this more often than not. Just being moved by those very words being offered to him in a very personal way from me to him. It's not just some sweet little ditty that we're singing. It's a nice one. I like the music. It has nothing to do with me. Whether the musical prayer we're offering up to the Lord I like or not doesn't matter. Because it's not about me. It's about him. And if the church then was turning to the Great Commission, because one, ask yourself, you know, I do this all the time. Who was the last person you shared the gospel with? Who was the very last person you shared it with? And we know that 90% statistically, the American church will never open their mouth about the Lord Jesus. Do they really love him? I can't not talk about Kathy. I can't not talk about my kids. I can't not talk about my grandchildren. Because I love them. But the church isn't talking about Jesus. They're not loving him with their whole being. Many are, but not the majority of the American church. The American church is dying, family. It's dying. Why should his church be dying? He told us in the book of the Revelation, your church is going to die because you lost your first love. Me, not Ron, Jesus. Amen. And that's what's happening, family. The reality of Jesus in our lives has moved on to somewhere else, relegated somewhere else, or we came into a church and we found a bunch of nice people, but Jesus is still like George Washington or Abraham Lincoln. I know about him, but I don't know him. That's why those people are out there. You see, you can't legislate racism out of our society. Racism has been here since shortly after the fall in the garden. It's going to be here until the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. But he wants you and I, through our changed lives, sharing this with those people out there on the street, because they think that they can loot and do all of this destruction and bring about change. They will bring about a certain amount of change, but they won't bring about the change that comes when a man or a woman or a boy or a girl comes to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They become the new creation. They have the fruit of the Spirit living in them. And with that fruit being active in their lives, it blesses the people around them. The first thing there is love. Those people weren't out there seeking the other people's best and highest good at their expense. They weren't loving. You saw their signs. Their signs were profane. I saw a lady just yesterday in my neighborhood. And she's standing up there and she's holding the sign, and every once in a while someone would honk at her. She was a lovely black young woman. And I was fully expecting, when I made my left turn, I was going to see Black Lives Matter. They do. But for me, I'm sorry, every life matters. But there she was, and she had this sign up. And you know what it said? All you need is Jesus. She hit it on the right on the head. All those people out there, every one of them need is Jesus. And it's keeping Jesus in these four walls. This is a sin of the church in America today. We need to be seeking. We need to be sharing with people the good news. Don't let Satan scare you about sharing that wonderful life-saving news of our Lord Jesus. Well, we were looking at our responsibility as sons and daughters, and we saw that, number one, we are to be the managers. We are to be the stewards of our Lord's estate, taking good care of it, all of his possessions that he's provided us. Second of all, we're to be, in his eyes, faithful. And whenever a pastor offers these things, he's hoping that people are going to be listening, hopefully, like he was when he was in the midst of researching and preparing the message to share with his flock. And that is being faithful to the Lord. Not just for me, it's not just putting together a message. It's looking at Barbara. It's looking at Maria. It's looking at the Bradburys. It's looking over here at the McDonald's. It's understanding some of what's going on in the Wrights' lives and their boys and so forth. When a message is coming together, it comes together because it's for the flock that I have. It's not. Today you can go buy sermons online. What is that all about? I guess it's okay if you're going to research with it or something like that, but to preach some other guy's message, that's his flock. The Lord has given you to me as the flock for which I'm responsible for. I'm not to preach to you guys something that you don't need to hear, because that's his message for what hopefully his people needed to hear. We need to be stewards, good stewards. We need to be faithful. And then we looked at Matthew 25:21. And I just loved this last week. Well done, good and faithful servant. Now listen, you know where you've been with the Lord this last week, okay? Let's just take last week. You know what you've been up to as his son or his daughter, how you've been serving him, how you've been a good manager of his possessions. So this is the living, active Word of God. And Jesus is speaking. And he could be saying to you, but only you would know, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share the happiness of your master. He's proud of you who have been standing up for him. He's proud of you that have been going and meeting with him on a daily basis and pouring out your heart and praying for other people and growing as he speaks to you through the word and applying that word that he speaks to you as you step out into the world. He's proud of you. We learned from this verse that we're going to be evaluated, that there's implications for the things we do and we don't do, and that there are three rewards, and we look those over. We're going to receive affirmation, I'm proud of you. We're going to receive promotion. He'll put us in charge of other things, greater things, and there's going to be celebration. He's proud of us. He's happy that you demonstrated your genuine love for him through your obedience through the word of God. When you read it, you understood it, you saw where you could apply it, and you applied it, and therefore there is going to be celebration. Our whole time that we're here, from the time that we come to faith, our life becomes a test and a trust. The nice thing about the tests, they keep coming. He keeps giving us opportunities to pass. Then on page 10, I shared with you here that we are to be managers, we are to be faithful, and we are faithful. When we are faithful, we will profit. And that word profit doesn't mean that there's dollar signs in front of it or after it. We're going to profit. How are we going to profit? Well, I'm glad you asked. First, here's your fill-in. First, we will grow closer. We will grow closer to our Lord Jesus. We're going to see what I have. I hope I'm right. I mean, I know what gnosko means, and so I've made what I call the gnosko principle for me to live by, and I believe you should live by it as well. You remember it was DPE, a direct personal experience with the Lord Jesus. No more George Washington, no more Abe Lincoln. That's how I know them, only that way. No, DPE is a deep personal experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, if all of us genuinely have that and continue to grow in that, then we're going to be those wonderful emissaries like Paul and Peter, and sharing this marvelous news that has saved our lives with the people who don't know him. And lots of them were out on the streets. That officer in Minneapolis, he doesn't have DPE. He doesn't have it. And I wonder if a Christian has ever met with him and shared with him the great news about Jesus. His tactic with George was not a tactic that any police officer is trained in the United States. They don't do that. But he did. And he was wrong. So very wrong in so many ways. But you see, family, if we have DPE, then we will grow closer to Jesus. And we're going to have changes taking place in our life. We call it sanctification, right? But we're going to see a speed up in that sanctification process, where we're going to be becoming more and more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what they need. And that's what we need. More and more of our being with him personally, intimately, and being changed by him, to be like him. That's what changes people's lives. When we are faithful to obey and serve our Lord, we grow in our love for him. It's just a natural thing, family. A wonderful, natural thing that takes place. In John 14:21, can we read that aloud together? Okay? John 14:21. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. Did you hear him? Did you hear him? He said here, whoever keeps my commandments. Most of you have one of these. You don't have one of these? Then you come to the, you call the office and get one. We won't charge you. All right? We have his commandments if we're born again believers. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them. You know, one of the things that the Israelites didn't do, I mean, they didn't keep any of the commandments either. But the one thing they didn't do was take the good news about God to the nations that didn't know the one true God. They kept him for himself, so to speak. And that's what the church is doing. They're keeping him to themselves. That's sin. Whoever keeps my commandments, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he or she, it is who agapes me, who is loving him with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the person who really loves him. And that's our first command, to love the Lord our God. And he or she who agapes me, who's seeking my best, my greatest good, at their expense, will be agaped by my Father. He'll continue to seek your best and my best and your highest good at his expense. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him. He will love you. He will love you. He will love you and manifest himself to you in that DPE relationship, that ongoing deep relationship. In John 14:15, it's not in your notes. You may want to write it down. John 14:15, again, he says, if you love me, if you agape me, you will keep my commandments. So there's a question there, isn't there, family? I say I love him, right? You're saying you love him. That's why you're here, to worship him, to say you love him. But are you keeping his commandments? Because he says it's the person who keeps them that honestly loves him. John 14:23. Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, will agape him or her, and we will come to him or her and make our home with him or her. That is the relationship I didn't understand for several years as a professing Christian. I don't know how people not want to live in that relationship all the time. It's so wonderful. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, verses 27, 28, not in your notes. You can see, when I write a manuscript and start studying the passages, that's one thing. But then, as the days go by, there is more and more that he brings to my heart and mind. He just continues to speak to me in my DPE. In verses 27, 28, but I say to you who hear, are you hearing? I say to you who hear, love your enemies. What? You could tell Jesus wasn't American. You could tell Jesus wasn't down in that crowd. You could tell that Jesus wasn't in the heart of that officer. But I say to you here, love your enemies, do good, kolos, do excellent to those who hate you. You know, years ago, Lord, you've got to be kidding me. You've got to be kidding. Do excellent to those who hate me? The people on the streets couldn't do that. They don't have DPE. He says, bless those who curse you. Ask God to bestow a divine favor on them. Have you ever really read your Gospels through? That's crazy. Bless those, ask a divine favor on those who curse you. And pray for those who abuse you. Pray for those who abuse you. Luke 6:30, not in your notes. Give to everyone who begs from you. Boy, we have a lot of homeless, don't we? When I went to India several years ago to teach other pastors how to be better pastors, they asked me to come teach that. I changed all my money into rupees and that sort of thing. And my Indian guide, the pastor who was my guide while I was there, we were at the train station. I'm just handing out rupees to all these kids. They're just coming up and pulling on me, Saib, Saib, rupees, rupees. And, you know, my pockets are full, and there I can tell there isn't much left. And he took me aside and he said, Ron, I know how you feel, but you can give them all the money that you arrived here with yesterday, and you will not have helped my people. The reason you're here is to help my people. You teach us to love our people as Jesus wants us as shepherds to love people. Give to everyone who begs of you, and from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. Luke 6:35 and 36. But love your enemies. There it is in agape. Seek their best and highest good and do good. There's kolos again. And do excellently and lend and expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful. He is kind to the ungrateful and evil. And we're supposed to be imitators of God. Can't do it in the flesh, family, but we can do it in the spirit. Luke 6:46, Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord? Why do you call me Kyrios, Kyrios? Which is a word of respect in the Greek meaning master. Why do you call me master, master, and do not do what I tell you? He could say that to the American church, couldn't he? Why do you call me Lord? Why do you come and sing to me? And don't do what I ask you to do. You know, this Lord, Lord, it's an outward expression, and it's not as important to call him Lord, Lord as it is to obey him. In verse 46, that's what he's really saying. It's not enough to call Jesus Lord, Lord. A believer must do what he says. Those who hear these words and act on them are secure, like this passage that I've been giving to you this morning off the cuff. We do these things, we follow what the Lord has to say, then we're secure, because he goes on to say, like a man building a house on a rock in verses 47 and 48. That man, that woman is secure. But he goes on, and those who hear my words and do not act on them will be destroyed. Like a man who built a house without a foundation. Verse 49. Family, this morning there was out in the park prayer for revival in the church. But there will be no revival in the church so long as we remain obsessed with entertaining ourselves. There will be no revival in the church so long as we are obsessed with chasing wealth or seeking some other form of gratification. When we are faithful, we will profit in three ways. The first way, we'll grow closer to our Lord. The second way, we will develop godly character. I don't know about you, but I've got a ways to go with godly character. But it's moving forward. And one of my barometers has always been my wife. If anyone knows me well, it's her. And if anyone calls me out when I'm not acting like a Christian, it will be her. "Can I tell you something in love?" she will say. And my immediate response is, hearing that, is no. But fortunately or unfortunately, she's still going to tell me. God uses money to reveal and to refine our character. How we handle money is an outside indicator of the true, what's really going on inside of us, the spiritual condition inside. You can tell a lot about a character, the character of people, by examining how they handle the Lord's wealth. Well, our time is spent today because I had just a few comments to say about a different subject. Family, if you feel, I've said things like this before, I don't stand here before you as Mr. Know-it-all, Mr. Who does everything right. I can say right along with Paul, except Paul was light years ahead of me. I'm still growing. I haven't arrived yet. I don't believe at age 75 I'm going to arrive before he decides to send a summons. You better get yourself home. You just aren't going to make it, son. And that'll be okay, too. But if he's pointing out a weak spot, please take it to heart. If the DPE is not existent in your life, I'm talking about every day. You know, I wake up every day to Kathy Seidel. We should each one wake up every day to the Lord Jesus Christ. Wake up every day to a loving Father, Abba. And we should wake up every day and spend time with him. "Well, I'm still going to be so tired." I know. first thing Kathy does, I don't even think she says good morning to the Lord. She gets her cup of coffee first. Then she goes, sits on the couch. And then she has a long DPE. I can't encourage you enough. And for some of you, you feel like I'm admonishing you. I don't live with you. I don't know where you are or where you're not, not really. Nobody comes and tattles on you to me about these things. But I want you to have the DPE, that direct personal experience, every day. And watch your life move from where it is now in that lovely spot, loving Him only to the degree that you're loving Him, to really loving Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbors, those knuckleheads, and treating them as I shared with you from all these various passages in Luke chapter 6. I don't hear many pastors preaching on this stuff because it's just too hard in the flesh, but not in the spirit. DPE keeps you in the spirit, and the Holy Spirit will help us to be successful and significant in doing these wonderful things for His glory and His honor, because my life's not about me anymore. My life is all about seeking the supremacy of Him in my life. And DPE is so very, very important to me. My life is fresh and new and growing. I only wish I knew this a long time ago. I love you, family. Let's pray. Oh, Father, thank you for your wonderful, wonderful, absolutely non-American word. Thank you for explaining so graciously and mercifully to us what's on your heart. And what was not on the heart on all those Americans we saw on the street the last 2 weeks and will be out there for whatever period of time. Father, we look to you for the eradication of racism in America. On the one hand, I can pray that, Father. You know that, but you know that racism will be here till the second coming. But Father, may I be available. May you bring into my life, and may you, if necessary, force into the lives of my brothers and my sisters tremendous opportunities, one after another, to share the gospel and to be so wonderfully happy to see a man or a woman, a boy or a girl commit themselves to your Son, the Lord Jesus. Because the only way we're going to have peace in this country, my Lord, is the peace that you give, that you bring into our lives by changing our lives. And that can only happen as people submit themselves to Jesus and His gospel. So may we be what you left us here for, emissaries of yours, devoted sons and daughters to you, who apply with happiness and joy and thanksgiving and gratefulness that you want to use us to share the news that cures the cancer of sin wherever it is shared. Please, Father, may we be a catalyst you use for good, for compassion, for all the races that you created for your pleasure will come together and worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.